This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What's trending today?
30 years.
Oh my gosh.
After her name was linked to the orchestrated assault of one Nancy Kerrigan.
Oh!
Tanya Harding is trending all over social media today. Do you want to know why?
No, not really.
It's something. The bizarre incident happened at the Virginia High School League Class 3 State Indoor Championships at Liberty University last week, where a runner named Alea Everett appeared to whack another runner over the head with a baton during the 4x200-meter relay.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this, Sam?
I've not, but that
look it up.
Kaylin, that is common.
Kaylin Tucker, the athlete who was hit, reportedly suffered a concussion. What are those batons made out of?
Very thin metal. She did not suffer a concussion.
Video
she hit the ground.
Of the alleged attack has gone viral, which, of course, led to the Tanya Harding
analogies.
Yeah, I mean, you're not.
I'm trying to find video of it.
Oh, it's everywhere.
Oh, here we go.
And she has tearfully apologized and said it was an accident. You know, you're running and you're going boom, 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 boom.
When did you compete in track and field?
Okay. What I am witnessing is the runners at a very high athletic level, by the way, they are rounding the bend on the track.
Yeah.
You need to look this up and explain it, Sam. And
the video is terrible.
You know, as you're running, your arms are going up and down and up and down because they're coming into that final stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So they're grinding and digging to try to win.
Driving the elbows, driving the knees, yes.
It does. When she hits her, it... Okay, I'm not laughing. It's not... Well, let me just play it for you because it really does look like she just hauls off and destroys her head.
Oh, come on.
It's...
Track and field is not a contact sport until you get into the higher levels, and it is very much a contact
sport.
But
you would know that, like, all these cameras are on me, and, like...
You can get disqualified for it.
Sam, it looks like... Oh,
no,
she was.
She whacks her like an owner of a bad dog with a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. It looked like it was on purpose.
She says in no way would she ever do anything like that on purpose, but I think the runner and the whole team got booted. I think they were like
disqualified. The whole
team?
Let me look it up.
Did she say, that's just not who I am?
No, she went, why? Sorry, that's not funny.
Seriously?
No, that's pretty funny. If you were crowding me wherever, in front and back, on the side, on the track, mm-hmm. My elbows would get magically wider. It's actually poor running form, but if you want to be rubbing up against my shoulder, you're going to be taking
right over the back of the head.
This says it is unclear whether the victim, Tucker, will file charges. You filed charges?
Well, let me tell you what is clear. And by the way, our buddy Travis just texted and said, I ran track. This happens more often than you think.
All the time.
But like whoops in my arm motion.
That's not a whoops.
Yeah, she rears up above her head.
This is your running motion. This is what she raises her hand.
Think of Norman Bates and the knife in Psycho. She is raising that baton above her head, and then it comes down, well, like Norman Bates in Psycho.
Well, and it's not the baton assault that's the big issue in track and field. You literally have metal spikes on your feet. Your shins can get ripped up. Your kneecaps can get ripped up.
Mm-hmm.
And people will do it intentionally.
Well, Rubin is racing.
Let me tell you this. there is a pretty spirited debate right now over whether or not this woman should be charged.
Well,
listen to this from Twitter. If someone hit someone upside the head with an insulated water bottle on the street, it would be considered assault by everyone. A runner clubbing an opponent with a baton should be held to the same standard. This is assault, plain and simple.
I think I have to agree. I mean, you watch it back. She raises her arm to the side of her body in frustration or anger. I'm not prone to the do's and don'ts of the track, okay? I don't know if this other girl got in her lane or was getting a little too close or whatever, but she strikes in anger.
How do you know it's anger? They are in the middle
of a
fierce...
She's not saying hi.
They are in the middle of a fierce competition. I'm not ready to say this was rage-fueled. I mean, is it possible, Sam, her arm just came up in that way?
As you are turning and the more tired you get, if you are really pushing it, you lose running form. And there is a very small chance that her arm extended at a time she didn't want it to. And it looks intentional.
She says there is more.
Man, you're really digging in there.
It looks intentional.
She says there is more to that clip than meets the eye. They are only going off of one angle.
Do we need a second?
I don't think we need a second. I just looked at the
video. She says, and I quote, now help me understand this, Sam. After a couple of times of hitting her, my baton got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance when I pumped my arms again. She got hit.
And also the way that where it hit her on the head, I take back my comment about the concussion. That will cause a concussion when you hit the soft portion.
Mm-hmm. She says, I know my intentions. I would never hit someone on purpose.
It could have been a moment of passion and frustration, because wasn't the runner passing her?
Yes.
Attempting, yes.
Yeah, and so in that moment, she just lost all composure and said, dang it. And
her family
lashed
has been
out.
Served with court papers. The Tuckers are asking for a protective order.
Well, I think that might be going a little far, but...
But again, it is a very common thing. You crowd me from anywhere on the track, and I will adjust my running to make sure that you give me enough room to run normally. Meaning my feet are going to be kicking higher, my knees are going to be kicking higher, and my elbows...
I'm a little disappointed in Dana Wright today. I thought we had her completely and totally on board with being skeptical of other human beings, doubting people's official stories... And today she's giving this young lady the benefit of the doubt. We have clearly failed.
I don't know. I don't know because I'm not a track athlete. Shocking, I know.
I believe maybe they're called trackers. Trackers.
Maybe there's some beef between the two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's right. That's right. So over the years, we've all talked about our guilty pleasure movies. And I'm not going to tell this to her. But one of mine is Twister. If it is on, I will watch it.
Yep.
I will watch it. I've probably seen Twister 1,000 times. Helen Hunt, Academy Award winner. Emmy Award winner. Twister, As Good As It Gets, Mad About You, Mary Tyler Moore, the list goes on and on. We'll be at Comic-Con on March 21st and 22nd. She's only here for Friday and Saturday at Bartle Hall, but it does run through the 23rd. They've got Christopher Lloyd coming, obviously from Back to the Future, Brian Austin Green, A.J. McLean from the Backstreet Boys, legendary actress Anne Margaret has signed up, Tori Spelling, and Dana's favorite, Bob West, the original voice of Barney. Helen Hunt.
Heart.
Helen Hunt. Did not have this on my bingo card when the week started. Will be joining us in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. You know, I never in my life thought I would be able to say, I think I'm being stood up by Helen Hunt. But I might be getting stood up by Helen Hunt. And I had a crush on her once.
She probably heard you say that and was so creeped out. She was like, I'm going to take a hard pass on this
one. Oh, no.
Phones are ringing.
Maybe she heard it.
I got to call into that show.
We're standing by for her. Comic-Con is coming up near the end of the month, March 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. It's at Bartle Hall. And they have, I'm telling you, every year this thing gets bigger and better. And they have an all-star cast this year. Christopher Lloyd, as I mentioned, Brian Austin Green is going to be there. Of course, Helen Hunt, who we'll be speaking with here in just a moment. A.J. McLean from the Backstreet Boys. Anne Margaret, one of the most famous actresses from the 60s, is going to be here. Tori Spelling and Bob West, who was the original voice of Barney, Dana's favorite television program for children.
Yeah, you can call it that.
Rough day on Wall Street today, by the way. The Dow is down hundreds and hundreds of points. I don't have the number in front of me.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
Quick update in the world of golf. Tiger Woods having surgery for a ruptured Achilles that likely wipes him out for the upcoming Masters in April.
You know her best from the TV series Mad About You with Paul Reiser. Also, the movie Twister, As Good As It Gets, What Women Want with Mel Gibson. I could go on and on and on. She has been recognized for her incredible work. And Helen Hunt, Academy Award winner, joins us on the KMBZ Hotline. She will be at Comic-Con March 21st and 22nd. It does run through the 23rd at Bartle Hall. Ms. Hunt, it's a pleasure. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
It's so lovely to talk to you. And I was saying to my partner here, Scott, earlier that we didn't even know where to begin because you were such a part of our young adult lives and then adult lives. Sort of all through the years. And I know when you come to these things like Comic-Con, we're lovely to have you in Kansas City and welcome you with open arms. But you have to have fans from, you know, really young all the way up because you've done so many things in your career.
Yeah, it's fun to kind of someone will look at me and recognize me. And I'm like, they seem like a Twister person. Or they seem like a. You know, girls just want to have fun. Their mom liked that. Or, you know what I mean? It's a fun game for me to play because I've done a lot of stuff for a long time.
Well, can I call you Helen? Is that okay?
You can. Yeah, well, I'm not sure what else you'd call me, but yes, you may.
Ms. Hunt, but then that would be like, you know, like we're not roughly from the same generation. And
No, I think, I don't know how old you are, but Helen, whatever, however old you are.
I'm 53.
You're a baby.
No. But anyway, you know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago on the show. What's that one movie when you're going through the, you know, like YouTube TV or whatever, and you see it and you've seen it 1,000 times and it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter.
As Good As It Gets.
See, yes, I love As Good As It Gets. But I'm that Twister person who would be looking at you going, I've seen Twister 1,000 times and I don't care where it is in that movie. I will stop what I'm doing and hit play.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm a big fan of, you know, when there's a chance every blue moon seeing that movie on the big screen. I've been invited to a couple of screenings around, and maybe one time we'll do it in your city, and it's really fun to see it real loud and on a big, huge screen. But I know people have said that to me about As Good As It Gets, and I think that is really because of the writing. Like, the writer-director of that movie, Jim Brooks, also did Terms of Endearment, also did Broadcast News, and those are movies for me that I can't keep flipping the channel when those movies come on, and I think the writing just grabs you.
Helen, we're on the same wavelength because I spent my entire evening last night watching Terms of Endearment. I do think it's one of the greatest films of all time. You got to work with Jack, and what I still remember your Oscar speech where you thanked him for asking for another take. Is that I don't know how I remember that, but I remember that. And what must that have been like? You've worked with a lot of greats. Philip Seymour Hoffman, before we knew him as Philip Seymour Hoffman, in Twister.
Yes. Yeah, I knew he was great. You could tell a mile away this guy was going to be one of the great actors ever, and he was. And in terms of Jack, you know, I always tell people I assumed, because he's, you know, what the best actors are, which is he seems unpredictable and wild and kind of untamed. And so I thought that's what I was going to work with, you know, some unpredictable, wild person who was going to surprise me for the good and the bad of that. But it wasn't like that. I've been studying acting since I was 9 years old, and I still study. And he was like that too. He comes from, you know, New York City, crappy theaters, studying acting with all sorts of our favorite people. And that's what it was like. It was like working with another acting student. And that's the highest compliment I can give anybody.
You know, Dana and I have been together for 14 years, and I've been on the radio in this town for 30. And I never, don't say that. I never, ever listen to myself on the radio when it's like recorded and played back. Do you ever watch your own movies?
I really don't. I can't stand it. I feel like it makes me feel washed up if I look at old things I've done. I've got to spend my day trying to make new things. I'm doing a play right now in Chicago called Betrayal at the Vivian Theater. And I've got a movie coming out with Dustin Hoffman, and I'm writing something. You know, if I start looking back, I just feel like, oh, God, that's the beginning of the end.
You know, Eddie Van Halen said he'd never listened to a Van Halen record.
Yeah, it's like the joy is the making of it. And then other people, you know, I enjoy movies, and I'm sure the actors who are in those movies aren't sitting at home, you know, watching and rewatching them. I hope not.
You put it out into the universe and see what sticks. One of the things that I was going through, like just your film biography and all of those things, I don't want people to forget about your powerful performance in Castaway. Can we somehow do a sequel? Because I miss more of you in that movie. I wanted to know, what was her journey like? What was happening when he was away? And then after, it was so powerful when he comes home. That is one of the most powerful scenes between you and Tom Hanks.
And I wanted you to take him back.
I did too.
I know. Some people like how poignant that was, and other people just think, wait, they blew it. They should have ended up. I mean, the filmmakers blew it, but I liked that he was so, you know, he's the center of that movie, and I liked the idea that he was so changed that it kind of wasn't meant to be anymore. That might be one of the few movies, not that, you know, we don't do much flipping around anymore because of streaming and everything, but that's a movie that I feel really impressed by whenever I see it or see part of it. It seems like it has all the good things of a little indie, but all the good things of a giant movie, because you have Tom Hanks and Bob Zemeckis, and I felt really lucky to get to be part of it.
There's a couple of scenes in that movie, and thank you, Dana, for reminding me. At the end, and not to make you relive your own movies, but you're Helen Hunt. I mean, give me a break. When you tell him that that Nashville has an NFL team and he can't believe it.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even remember that.
That scene makes me laugh out. The Titans. Yeah, we've got an NFL team now.
Is there?
Oh, I should that makes me want to rewatch that scene because I don't remember that at all.
Helen, is there anyone you haven't worked with that you really, really want to work with? Any actor, male, female, anyone?
Well, my heart's a little broken because my dream was to work with Maggie Smith, and now she's gone. So that was my answer for so long. I have to find the next person. I mean, you know, I loved the movie Anora that got so much attention this year. I loved The Brutalist. There's a few movies that came out this year that were really exciting. So, yeah, there's plenty of people. Bradley Cooper.
Can you talk a little bit, but before we have to let you go, about the importance of still physically going into the theater for that experience? And I feel like we're losing that. We're losing a little bit of that every day, and it's so important to still have it experienced the way it's meant to be.
It's everything to me, and I have to, just like all of us, like put my feet on the floor, buy the ticket, and go to the theater because it's all so easy and at our fingertips. But I think that feeling that happens when you're in a room with a bunch of strangers and something goes on the screen, even if it's like a scene about a fight between a husband and wife, and she says, you didn't put the cap on the toothpaste, but what we know is she wants a divorce, and we all laugh together, that's irreplaceable. That does something to us that makes us feel less alone in the world. You know, I think it's kind of more profound than it seems, and so I hope people will, you know, put their feet on the floor and get to the movies, because I want more movies to be made. I don't want more movie theaters to close. It's like we have to push back if it means something to you, and it really means something to me.
Helen Hunt, it's been a privilege, and we thank you for your time. I know you got to get on to some other interviews, but thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Look forward to seeing you in Kansas City. She will be here on March 21st and 22nd. Comic-Con does run through the 23rd, by the way. It's at Bartle Hall. Helen Hunt will be there. Also, Christopher Lloyd, Brian Austin Green, A.J. McLean from the Backstreet Boys, Anne Margaret, Tori Spelling, Bob West, the original voice of Barney. The list goes on and on and on. It is a huge cast this year, Barter Hall Comic Con, March 21st, 22nd, and 23rd.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So yesterday on the program, we were talking about Wendy Williams and the conservatorship that's been placed on her. She's currently in a hospital.
Well, she threw a note out the window that said, "Help me."
Yeah.
And then someone called and they were able to get her out of there. She says she's being held against her will, like as a prisoner
in a memory care center. Yeah.
She said that she is not the same as all of the other patients. All these other patients are old people with memory problems, and she is the same old Wendy Williams.
I'm paraphrasing, but close enough to be dangerous. She said in a recent interview with Dateline, "I'm in a memory care center. These people up here don't know or remember anything.
Yeah.
I don't belong here." Did you say she's going to be on The View?
She is scheduled to be on The View.
By phone?
I don't know.
Because she did the Dateline interview, if I remember correctly, by phone.
Here's, did she really?
I think so, if I'm not mistaken. Here's what I want to know. She was, as we were talking yesterday, she was taken to a hospital, Cedars-Sinai in New York, or Mount Sinai in New York City. Do they post a guard outside of her door? She's committed no crime.
How can she not leave?
Could she just check out again? What's called doctor's orders?
No. If it's a memory care center, those doors are locked and have to be because the people with advanced Alzheimer's would walk out into traffic.
By the way, when she was taken to the hospital, she was given a mental capacity examination. She passed with flying colors.
Really?
Wow.
Even the hospital said, "She's fine.
Interesting.
And yes, she is set to call in on Friday to the
So
View.
She's going
to
call into the View.
Because
how
again,
does this happen?
She's in prison.
So I got to thinking about this earlier today. How does this happen? Great question. But how many times have we heard about people who are, you know, a silver alert has been issued for 80-year-old John Smith.
Yeah, we can start locking them up.
And John Smith has dementia, lives with his daughter, who's his primary caregiver. And to your question, why don't we lock up 80-year-old John Smith? He doesn't know his own name anymore. Why isn't he in a memory care center?
Because he doesn't have several million dollars in the banks, my guess.
And a guardian who apparently is acting in their own interest.
But your bank can call the New York court system and say, she's been spending more money than she should have been recently.
Says who? It's my
the
money.
Bank.
But it's my money.
This is how it rolled out.
And she, you're telling me that at the hospital today or yesterday.
Yesterday.
She was given a cognitive test and passed with flying colors.
That is correct.
I'm taking the tubes out. I'm out. I'm checking out against doctor's orders.
Oh, good luck getting past the guard.
I'm then suing.
And the locked
for
door.
For kidnapping. That's kidnapping, Scott. Mm-hmm.
She can't sue. She doesn't have any money.
She has $5 million.
Well, no, she doesn't.
That is funneled through one of these
They froze
guardians.
Her bank accounts.
Isn't that crazy?
This is a high crime. I'm being serious.
I mean, she's basically been kidnapped by the state.
This story, and again, like I said yesterday, I don't have a dog in this fight when it comes to Wendy Williams. I think I've seen her show once, but she was a pretty well-known TV talk show host. She's a media personality, whatever, or was, until somebody had her committed to a memory care center. But this really bothers me. It bothers me when I see somebody's rights being so viciously ripped out from underneath them like a rug.
Well, and I dug further into it last night. So the suit or the court order or whatever, the filing for the future court order for her to be stripped of her funding and put in this facility started in May of 2022. Her last show, she was live every single day, was June 17th.
So she was cognitively capable of hosting a show on national television
for several months after.
For at least a month and a half.
Yep.
But she was so cognitively impaired that even though she was hosting a nationally televised talk show.
An hour-long talk show.
Right. With probably set commercial breaks that she had to hit on time. That while all this is going on, she is so far gone, she can't manage her own life.
It doesn't add up, does it?
No, it doesn't.
You know what does add up? The money. Where did it follow it? Mm-hmm. Where did it go? Follow the money.
Exactly right.
I just saw this in the stack. How can it be that we are still talking about court cases involving the Branson duck boat awful, awful tragedy? That was in July of 2018. This is from KY3.
Okay.
The captain of the Ride the Duck boat that sank on Table Rock Lake back in July of 2018 has asked a judge to dismiss the case days before he appears in court. This thing is still in court?
Probably the civil cases, yes.
17 on board died, as you recall. It makes me sick to even think about
it. That was sad.
Investigators say the Ride the Ducks boat had plenty of warning about the severe weather, but the boat launched more than 20 minutes after a thunderstorm warning was issued for Table Rock Lake. We all know that. Kenneth McKee, who apparently was the captain, is charged with 17 counts of involuntary manslaughter and 12 counts of endangering the welfare of a child. Attorneys for McKee claim the employees on the boat did not know the winds associated with the storm. The case has had several back and forth challenges since the tragedy. Two supervisors also faced charges. I cannot believe it has been 7 years, and that has still not wound its way through the courts.
Clearly not.
God, those poor families.
Well, they've already been convicted.
I thought they had been convicted, or somebody had been. Maybe not the captain, but I thought somebody had been convicted.
Has been so much back and forth. And you remember they reopened. I was like, what are they doing reopening? Well, we'll let you know what happened. He has asked for them to dismiss the case. But again, if the case was going to be dismissed, why wasn't it dismissed 6 years ago or 5 years ago?
Probably because the charges have merit.
They were dismissed.
Oh, they were dismissed.
Then they were subsequently refiled.
Yep. I'm telling you, that is one of the lengthiest, I understand complicated, because you had people in charge on the boat. You had people in charge back at the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, there was some breakdown of communication or just gross negligence.
The last update I'm seeing, April 7th of 2022, a judge made the decision Tuesday afternoon that there was not enough evidence for the charges.
And that was back in April, Sam?
Of 2022.
Okay, because today, March 11th, 2025, the captain is asking them once again to dismiss the case. They had to have refiled.
Kimberly Birch, by the way, the fiance of Faster Pussycat frontman Tame Down, may have jumped off a Royal Caribbean cruise ship following a heated argument with the singer. The moments leading up to Birch's tragic death were captured in a video that is now in the hands of police, according to TMZ. Insiders telling the news outlet that the footage shows Birch climbing the cruise ship's railing and then stepping off.
My God.
They have yet to declare Birch's official cause of death. Her body remains missing, obviously. She was 56.
I had a bad feeling there was going to be video footage of everything.
I told you the other day, I go, surveillance cameras on those cruise ships have to be what, every 15 feet? I mean, that is one of the most surveilled places you can go on vacation.
There wouldn't be a camera in the room, but there would be
on those balconies,
a side of boat camera that would see a person step up onto the balcony. And
you can't be on the balcony. I mean, what if you're, you know?
You can. I've been on
having
two cruises in 10 years, and you know, the balconies are tight. Don't think balcony, Scott. Think your computer desk at home. I mean,
I think you missed what Scott was saying.
How could they have cameras out there? Because some people might go out there.
I didn't mean cameras right there pointing in your bedroom, but there are cameras flush all up and down those cruise ships, you ding-a-ling.
Thank you, Sam, for always being able to read my mind.
No, I just chose to ignore you.
Vanna White, 68 years of age, has gotten her first tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Dana, you and Vanna White now have something in common.
Oh my gosh, what is it?
Vanna posted on Instagram, I finally got my first tattoo given to me by my talented daughter, Gigi Pietro. I will think of her every time I look at it.
Wait, her daughter is a tattoo artist?
Clearly.
Okay.
Do you want to just tell her what it was?
No. Do you want to know what tattoo Vanna White got?
Where is it? Tell me that first.
Vanna White said she decided to get a delicate heart tattooed on the inside of her wrist so that she can look at it every day.
She ripped me off. I should have trademarked that thing.
Oh, yeah, you're the first one to do that.
Yeah, I feel like I am.
She decided to get a heart tattooed on her inner wrist.
Left so or right?
It doesn't specify.
It better be left.
I believe it is left.
Good.
Based on the images of her getting the tattoo.
What color is your heart?
It's red.
Hers is pink.
Hmm.
Yours will fade and then they'll match.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. No, it will
with
not.
With age.
I would go right back over it if it started to.
Oh, really?
Go right back into that Westport 816 tattoo and be like, tap me up again, bruh. Okay,
you're not
tap
tatted
me up.
Tap
again, bruh.
They saw me coming and they were like, yep.
You're not Nivens.
Here comes a mom.
Yeah. This is going to be a $50 one, kids.
It was $75 because you know we have a minimum, and I'm like, don't care. Let's get this party started.
Do we have an apprentice in here today? Is the apprentice here? Maybe an intern?
Kind of funny how she was like, yeah, my daughter is one of the best tattoo artists in town. And
all she gets is a tiny heart.
Very generic tiny heart to show off her skills.
It'd be awesome if she'd gotten a full sleeve.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Dun, 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 dun.
I wonder if she will be displaying her new tattoo on Wheel of Fortune tonight at 6:30 on Fox 4.
I don't think the cameras zoom in that far.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Jeff in Shawnee, what's up, man?
Oh, hang on a second, I can turn the radio down.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Vanna White will not be debuting her tattoo on TV tonight because she did it last night.
When? I watched.
It was right at the end of the show. You know how after they
they said we'll be right back and they come in there
before or after the bye.
Right before.
Right before that. Mm.
Yeah. It's when the two of them are sitting there or standing there talking right at the very, very end.
Yeah, they talk aimlessly about nothing, and then they...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, the subject was the tattoo, and she showed it.
Mm-hmm. Is it a big one or a little one?
No, it's just a little one.
Just like Dana's.
Why do you always like have to poo-poo my tat?
All right, Jeff, thank you for the heads up, man. Because you're all tatted up.
Oh, I am. More so than you and Sam.
I told you, I'm not getting a tattoo until my mother leaves this earth. Hmm. There's no chance.
I will be getting tattoos as soon as I can justify the expenditure. I'm trying to save up for a house right now. I don't exactly want ink.
Okay, can we stop pretending like we're even remotely hip?
Oh, we are hip.
He's going to go down and get inked.
Oh, you know it.
Ink. Okay.
Going to get a sleeve.
Are you really?
Eventually.
I think sleeves are really cool. I'm just afraid that I would get a sleeve, and number one, at 53.
Yeah.
Nothing says, man, I'm having a midlife crisis like a 53-year-old
man. Are you older or younger than Aurora in terms of endearment? If you're older.
I'm older.
Yeah, you might want to rethink that.
I'm older than Aurora. I'm older than him, too.
And you also have to keep in mind that as your body changes, so do the tattoos.
That is true.
You get bigger, they stretch. You get smaller, they do the opposite
and
of stretch.
As, and as things start to get a little looser with age and gravity, so do they. The measles outbreak in Texas has now reached 223 cases.
Good God.
223 cases. All right.
When we get back, I'm just going to tease this story now because I'm fascinated. If you are an EMT, a paramedic, if you work at a hospital, you know every single system has a handful of patients that abuse the system. You know them by name. You know their address. You know their family because that phone is always a call in 911. It is a Missouri story, Scott. Someone has finally been charged with abuse of that system.
Good.
After repeatedly calling 911 to get a free ride to the hospital. And according to authorities, do you know why they want the free ride to the hospital?
No.
They want drugs. They want meds.
Of course.
I cannot remember in the history of this program ever talking about someone being charged for abusing that system. And I can hear the paramedics and the EMTs applauding.
Sure.
Like, you all, I know it. You all have, I don't know if it's two or five, just... perennial, here we go again. Bob's wanting to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a massive issue in the wintertime.
Oh, sure, with the homeless population. Yeah. This guy wasn't homeless. He's just a serial 911 come get me caller.
All right, we'll get to that next hour. Speaking of dialing 911, an incident occurred in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin this week. Police were contacted by a 4-year-old boy who said mom was being bad. So they sent over two officers. Two female officers went over to the home to check because it was technically a 911 hang up, right? The little boy wanted his mom arrested and taken to jail because she was being bad and ate his ice cream and she needed to go to jail for it.
Really? Life sentence.
How old is he?
Four.
Okay.
So
that's cute once.
But you're right. It's cute one time. By the time the officers got to the home, the young man said he did not want his mom to go any longer to jail, and the nice officers in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, came by the next day with a cup of ice cream for the 4-year-old, and they gave it to him and took a picture with
him. That's very sweet.
It's very cool.
And I'm sure they told him this was funny
once. That's exactly right. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget to check out our podcast when you want, when you can. Just go to KMBZ.com, the Dana and Parks podcast, here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.